and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it? Looking around at them all, he said to them, stretch out your hand. He did so, and his hand was restored. But they became enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. The readings today are very rich in terms of what they help us to understand about Labor Day. If you've read the bulletin, you know that Labor Day was a holiday that began in the 1880s, not to give people a holiday so much as to give people, kind of like teachers have these work days where they get continuing education about how to be a better teacher, it was an opportunity for everybody to go hear about the spiritual meaning of work, to focus on the great gift of work. And today's readings are rich in what they teach us. In the gospel today about the Sabbath, the Jews had a false notion of what work was, and therefore they had a false notion of the Sabbath. And Jesus came to bring them the correct notion of both. Their understanding of work was more like slavery and was never meant to be that. And when they came to the Sabbath, they made sure they didn't do any work at all. Even something as simple as lighting a lamp, that had to be done the day before. Any cooking needed to be done the day before. And in fact, if they needed to do some exertion, for example, to get animals out of pits and everything else, there was a great quandary about whether that was going to be breaking the covenant or not. So Jesus came around, and most of his miracles were done on the Sabbath day to teach everyone that the Sabbath was made for acts of love, not for a day off to sit in a hammock and to just kind of count the birds, but an opportunity away from other types of work, precisely so that we could focus on the two most important things we do, loving God, which is why the Sabbath is made for worship, love of God and love of neighbor, to go care for those that you might not have time to care for over the course of the week. Because of Jesus' message on the Sabbath, that they didn't have this strict notion that there was to be no work done whatsoever. Jesus was killed. That was the fundamental reason, as we see at the end of the gospel today, why they began to plot to kill him. And it even brought the Herodians and the Pharisees together, two arch enemies, in order to conspire to kill Jesus. So important was the message of the gospel of work, about the real meaning of both work and rest, that Jesus was willing to die to teach it to us. That's the setting. In order for us to be able to celebrate the Sabbath well, to celebrate days like Labor Day well, we need to grasp a little bit of the responsorial psalm we had today. Only in God be at rest my soul, for my hope comes from him. To rest, to truly rest, means to rest in God. It's not to rest apart from God, because that just exhausts our soul. But it is to take advantage of the time we have off from work in order to plunge ourselves more into the depth of who God is. Because the more we do that, not only will we be refreshed more, but the more we will discover who we really are in his plans and be renewed in our vocation and in our mission. In the first reading today, we see what that mission with regard to us and others is. St. Paul at the beginning says that he was rejoicing in his sufferings because he was making up what was lacking in Christ's sufferings on behalf of his body, the church. He was making up what is lacking in Christ's own work, we could say, Christ's own mission for the sake of the church, that Christ came and did everything that needed to be done, except one thing. Let it play out in our lives and in the lives of others, because he'd always made us free. And so part of his complete work was to leave it incomplete, to allow us to complete it. And what is that completion? St. Paul points to it a little bit later, that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. For this I labor and struggle. What does that mean, to present everyone perfect in Christ? To allow everyone to come to full stature. And when we understand that vocation, then we understand the meaning of human work a little bit. Be able to get a greater exposition in the article that I wrote in this weekend's bulletin, which I'd encourage you to read, take to your prayer. But work was part of our mission from before the fall. God gave the first commandments: be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over all the creatures. He had given us that work before the fall, the great work of bringing to completion what was very good, the human race, in giving us a chance to create with him, which is the most exalted work of all. Then two other verbs: to subdue the earth, to till the earth, in other words, to take the meaning out of that great gift, to have dominion over all the creatures of the sea and of the land, to basically be farmers in that sense as well. And in doing so, we would bring the greatest work to completion, which is the human person. Pope John Paul II, back in his beautiful encyclical on the meaning of human labor, Laborum Exercens, said that there are two meanings to work. One, an external or an intransitive one. The second, an internal or an intransitive one. What's the external notion of work? We make something. We make a table. We make an afghan. We build a car. We construct a house. That's an external product of our work. And then we create ourselves as we work. And every language but English basically has verbs to distinguish between the two. In Latin, the two words are facere, you make something, and argere, you make yourself. You build up yourself. And it's through our work that we make ourselves, either good or bad. If we really pour ourselves into our work and do it with human perfection, do it with love for those we're serving, who will benefit from what we do, we make ourselves more and more like Christ. We come more and more toward that perfection in Christ. If we do shoddy work, if work for us is just a means to be able to collect a paycheck, and we engage in a typical human corruption, which is we go to work and we just sort of occupy a seat and do the minimum so that we don't get canned, then we're actually going to be destroying ourselves and destroying our character. No matter what work we do, as long as it's honest work, we can be saving the world. I love to tell the story that came in a guidebook in the 13th century, one of the earliest travel guidebooks, when a priest who was writing this itinerary was coming down from Belgium and passing through Chartres, France, on his way to Italy to write about the sanctuaries there. He stopped while the cathedral was being built in Chartres. The cathedral took over 100 years to build. You know, it was something pretty interesting when I took the young people on World Youth Day over to the great shrines in Europe. One of the things that kind of surprised them were these beautiful churches we were visiting. It took more than a lifetime to build, but people put in that work to make something that would really last. And when this priest asked a mason working there on Chartres Cathedral what he was doing, because the mason was using a technique he had never seen in his home in Belgium, the mason looked up and he said, "I'm building the Cathedral of Chartres." And then the priest said, no, I know that. I know where we are and I know this is the cathedral. What are you doing? I mean, what's that technique you're doing? And the man looked up and he said, "I'm building the Cathedral of Chartres." The man wrote a beautiful description of what that means for our entire life. What are you doing when you're making golf balls? What are you doing when you're doing house cleaning? What are you doing? You are saving the human race. That's what you're doing. You're inserting yourself into Christ's own work. in making up what is lacking in his work for the sake of his body, the church, for you and for others. That's what, no matter what work we're doing, when we're doing it together with Christ, when we're offering it to Christ, we're saving the world. We're doing something far more important than building the Cathedral of Chartres. We're building the church. That's the meaning of work. And so many in our culture need to work better. You know, there was an article in the Standard Times a couple days ago about those who are unemployed and whether people are turning on the unemployed. And the article made a distinction. Nobody's turning on those who, when they're unemployed, are constantly out looking for jobs. It's everybody's fear to be unemployed. But one of the things that's been turning in our culture that was noted by the article is that there are people who get unemployed and then say, great, I have 99 weeks off that'll be paid for by other people. And instead of going out to try to work, they're just collecting a check in order to put food on. Now, that's okay if they've been working for 30 years and they need a few weeks off or a few months off. No big deal there as they're looking for a job. But if people begin to stop working, then there's a real cancer. Rather than bringing somebody toward perfection, it'll be bringing somebody downward. That's why St. Paul very emphatically to the early church said, the one who doesn't want to work shouldn't eat. Notice he didn't say the one who's not working shouldn't eat. But the one who doesn't want to work shouldn't eat. Because others shouldn't come to that person's rescue in that circumstance, because while we might be helping the person's stomach, we'd be hurting the person's soul. We've got the vocation to work, and it's through work, especially hard work, that we begin to build ourselves up. Today we celebrate 14th anniversary of the birth into eternal life of Blessed Mother Teresa. Here is a woman who got this message. I could focus on many angles, I'll just focus on two. First thing is that she said that work was a sign of our being poor in spirit. She specifically tried to help her sisters to grasp that one of the aspects of poverty is that they need to work for what they have. That God responds in providence, not merely by giving them bananas and cereal, but God responds in providence by giving them opportunities to be able to perfect themselves through their work. She would always have them do that extra work so that, frankly, they'd never lose that aspect of their vocation. So they don't have computers, they write everything hand down. They could easily print out a liturgy book, but they write it in chalk. They could have a washing machine and a dryer in their homes, especially here in the United States. That's not so much of a luxury, but instead they do it by hand. At every point, Mother wanted them to live out their poverty of spirit precisely by their work, because poverty and spirit and work go hand in hand. Those who are rich, those who have everything already provided, sometimes are the ones who think they no longer have to work. She never wanted them to be in that circumstance. She saw that type of work as a particular blessing, and we need to see it as well. A lot of the times we don't look at work that way. We can't wait for the week to end. We say TGIF, for example, for those who don't work on Saturdays. We can't look ahead enough to retirement because we want to leave the job behind. Mother talks about a different thing. It doesn't mean that we have to do the same job that we've been doing our entire life until we die. But even when we retire, that's just a transfer to a different type of work, a type of love for God and a type of love for others, a type of service, etc. Without that, we'll lose the first beatitude of how to be poor in spirit. And the second thing that she focused on always was that work is the mission of charity. It's by our hard work that we're able actually to love others. And when we keep that connection between work and love, work will always be meaningful. But it's when we sever that connection between work and love that work becomes toilsome and work becomes alienating. John Paul II wrote an awful lot about alienation, because sometimes work that's supposed to make us holier actually brings us down. When we lose that notion of the love for the one who's going to be served. Back when I was in college, I attended a seminar through a group called the Acton Institute that have helped out ever since. It was an article, I forget the author, but it was called The Pencil. Just an article about how a pencil was made. And over the course of the making of a single pencil, there were hundreds of different people who would have been involved in the getting of the lead, in the getting of the wood, and whatever was made into the eraser, into the metal that would come down at the, in the paint that would be there, in the stamp that would be put on in. Hundreds of people would be involved in any single pencil. And no matter where we were in that group across the globe, the key was to remember that, for example, on weeks like this, little kids in school would be using that pencil. If that pencil were not well done, if the lead would immediately crack, somebody would suffer as a result of it. But if it was a good pencil, somebody would be able to use it to grow. It's the same thing no matter what we do. When we remember that somebody else needs that, then it gives whole new meaning to what we do. Just in the life of a priest. A priest can prepare a homily if one person really cares. If nobody cares, it starts to alienate and make something good onerous for a priest. All the little things, that's where it comes out when we're able to see that connection. And so, first we need to do it out of love. But then the flip side of it is always gratitude. That for all the work that others do for us, we need on a day like today to be thankful. And it was the labor who made this country great by so much hard work over the course of time, and today we thank God for them. So today, as we reflect on Jesus' great miracle, where somebody stretched out his hand, and that hand was restored to the capacity to work anew, let us ask the Lord to stretch out not just our hands, but our minds, our hearts, our entire body, so that we might see the true meaning of human work in his divine plan. Say yes to it. Work at as hard at what he has given us to do as he did in his hidden years of Nazareth, making tables and chairs and houses and other projects, as hard as he worked in preaching the gospel, so that in him we might become perfect and help others to achieve that same full stature. Stretch out your hands.